Next, I'm going to go into quite a bit of detail regarding specific interventions concerning the three basic approaches to take with an anxious client. Now, your anxious client, in the simplest terms, believe that something bad is going to happen that they won't be able to handle. Now, according to Washenberg, all of the cognitive therapist questions can be broken down into one of these three questions, and see if you agree or disagree with his ideas. Number one, the question of, what's the evidence? Number two, the question of, what's another way of looking at the situation? And number three, so what if it happens? I find some clients respond better to one approach than to another, and I'm sure as you have found out. However, I find the client with the highest success rate actually develops skills in themselves in all three of these questioning areas. Let's look at some techniques regarding question number one, what's the evidence, and how you might help your client to explore this. We'll look at analysis of faulty logic, a three-column technique, providing information, and hypothesis testing. Let's go to the first of these four. Let's look at analysis of faulty logic first. As you know, a standard method is to review the client's logic in constructing his experiences. For example, Ethel, a 76-year-old woman, was extremely anxious about and believed she would fail a written driving test, although she had passed a previous one. I led her to concede that there was no evidence that she would fail other than her thoughts that the second test would be harder than the first. After we discussed this and the fact that she could read the license manual, when the client recognized that she was jumping to conclusions, her anxiety subsided sufficiently to allow her to study for the test, and as a result, her anxiety went down even more. When she did pass the test, I used this success as further evidence of her competence. Technique under question number one, as to what's the evidence, you might analyze the past history of successes with the client. Intervention number two, the three-column technique. Clients can identify thinking errors by the three-column technique. In the first column, the client describes an anxiety-producing situation. In the second column, his or her automatic thoughts. In the third column, types of errors found in these thoughts. Let me repeat that back. In the first column, I have the client describe the anxiety-provoking situation. In the second column, his or her automatic thoughts, and in the third column, types of errors found in their thinking. Now, by doing this, the client practices viewing his or her experience from the vantage point of a neutral observer rather than from that of a victim. This technique is usually viewed by the client initially as an intellectual exercise. This exercise with practice usually takes on personal meaning to the client to help him or her answer the question, where's the evidence? In approaching the client with where's the evidence, you might think about a three-column technique where the client lists the situation, the automatic thought, and the error in their thinking. Technique number three for where's the evidence is a simple one, but don't underestimate the power of it. That's providing information. Lack of information or erroneous information may, as you know, increase your client's anxiety. Kelly, a 20-year-old college student, was afraid of going insane regarding stress over grades and assignments. However, she was unaware of the symptoms of schizophrenia. Her fear was alleviated after I explained the difference between hallucinations and delusions and the symptoms of anxiety. When a client exaggerates the actual odds of his experiencing a feared event, you can, of course, provide realistic information to enable your client to process and to reassess the potential of the danger. Here's some examples that I like to use. I point out that if a person could die only as a result of a plane crash, he would live to be a million years old. Or here's another one that I like. If your client could die only because of an automobile accident, he would live to be over 3,000 years old, and obviously these examples are based on statistics. regarding where's the evidence, provide them with the facts of the situation. Let's go to technique number 4, hypothesis testing. Probably much of the homework you assign between sessions involves testing hypotheses. As you know, it's best to encourage your client to write out his prediction of dire consequences for later evaluation, so as to accumulate a recorded body of data disproving the client's catastrophic predictions. As one negative consequence after another fails to occur, the client's belief in the certainty of impending disaster usually begins to weaken. Here's a list of hypotheses. Compare them with yours. I've got 8 of them. Here we go. Number 1, I'm too anxious to even read the directions. Number 2, I'm too anxious even to make an outline for a speech. Number 3, I'm too anxious to call and ask for information. Number 4, I can't even talk to a stranger. Number 5, I can't do anything when this symptom comes on. Number 6, I can't make any decisions. Number 7, I can't think or talk about this, it's too frightening. Number 8, I can't control my anxiety. Now, I motivate the client into testing these hypotheses by setting up a no-lose situation. Since each test of a hypothesis, no matter what the outcome, provides useful data, I turn it into a win-win situation. Question number 9. What are some interventions to assist your client in answering the question, what's the evidence?